When my daughter was little, like all little children, she enjoyed playing games. Sometimes these were fun, sometimes these were instructional, sometimes they were just silly. Like one of her favorites when she was really little, peekaboo. What seemed like hours were spent with my daughter trying to hide to see if we could find her. Now, when I say hide, I mean stand in full view in the middle of the room and cover her eyes with her hands, as if this somehow magically rendered her transparent and invisible. Giggling the whole time, she would cry out, "Peek-a-boo!" and then peek through her outstretched fingers to see if we had yet uncovered her masterful ninja-like hiding spot. We would glance over in her direction, make eye contact, and say, "I see you." And she would erupt into more giggles and laughter and try to hide somewhere else, somewhere more stealthy, like behind the potted plant in the corner. Again, covering her eyes, assured there was no way we could see her now. And we would play along, sing-songing the searching phrase, "Where's Abby? Where's Abby?" Until her giggling and squirming with anticipation was about to burst, when again we would lay eyes on her and declare, "I see you." She was always amazed that we could find her, astonished that her clever blind of a hiding spot behind her splayed fingers didn't render her unnoticeable. That's part of the fun of that game, though, when you're a child. Your parents can always find you. Our scripture today deals with a bit of peekaboo as well. Jesus is coming to Jericho, fabled city of old where Joshua brought the walls down with a trumpet blast. Jesus is coming, and the crowds are packing in to see this Nazarene who is healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, making the lame to walk, and preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Zacchaeus lives in Jericho. He is the chief tax collector. So not just a regular tax collector, but the head tax collector, the tax collector in charge, if you will. Tax collectors had a pretty sweet job. They were responsible for collecting the taxes that would be sent back to Rome. At this time, Jericho, as with all of Israel, was part of the Roman Empire. So the tax collectors would go person to person and would collect the taxes that needed to be sent back to Rome. But in an effort to make them really good at their jobs, Rome told the tax collectors, "If you take a little bit extra for yourself, that's fine." So tax collectors were notorious for overcharging, for taking too much, and for pocketing the difference. And it often made them very wealthy. Scripture tells us Zacchaeus was rich. And he's gotten there by swindling and cheating his neighbors and his friends. Zacchaeus wants to catch a glimpse of this healer, this teacher, this prophet he's heard so much about, but of course there's a problem. As I told the kids, Zacchaeus, in the words of the nursery song, was a wee little man. And the crowd is not going to part for him, let alone let him stand up front. They don't like Zacchaeus. They think that he's a thief. They think that he's a burden. They don't like seeing him. So when he's standing at the back of the crowd trying to jump, trying to see over their shoulders and heads, the crowd is not going to say, "Well, Zacchaeus, why don't you come on up here?" They're perfectly happy with him stuck back there. So Zacchaeus needs a better vantage point. He looks around, he spies a sycamore tree. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because Jesus was going to pass that way. So Zacchaeus has found his perch. He's climbed the tree to see over the throngs and multitudes, and now finally, he'll be able to see Jesus. Jesus enters the city. The crowds of people, I'm sure, crush in to get a better view. I'm sure Jesus is talking to people along the road as he walks, touching them, blessing them, healing them. It must have been quite a scene, this solitary figure surrounded by curious and expectant hordes, wanting to reach out and touch this man of miracles. I'm sure it was loud and crowded and overwhelming. And in the midst of this cacophony of noise and dust, something miraculous happens. Above the din, through all of the hullabaloo, Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus had climbed the tree hoping that he would be able to see Jesus. I'm sure that he thought, with all the commotion and demands on his attention, Jesus would never even look up and notice Zacchaeus, but he does. He stops right there in the street, and his gaze follows the tree line up until he is staring at the little tax collector. And he calls out, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus' heart must have leapt into his chest. How did Jesus even see me in the midst of this throng, in the midst of all this commotion, with all of this going on, so many people needing and wanting to touch Jesus? How did Jesus see little old me up this sycamore tree? There's an old story about Billy Graham. One day he was going to be interviewed on national TV. The interview was going to take place from his living room. So in the days leading up to that interview, his wife Ruth spent the time deep cleaning the house, wiping everything down, dusting, vacuuming, sweeping, scrubbing. If their home was about to be broadcast across the nation, maybe around the world, it should be clean. The day of the interview arrived and the TV trucks showed up outside, and they come in to set up for the interview, and they bring these huge studio lights in to set up, to light the scene. These intense luminaries are turned on and Ruth is aghast because the lights bathe the room in this bright, stark, white light, and it causes every speck of dust, every strand of mist cobweb, every nick and blemish to stand out in glaring detail. She is horrified. Despite her best efforts at removing every bit of dust and grime, she missed some spots. And the bright lights show every one of them to her. That's how it is with God often in our lives. There's things I would like to hide from God. Sometimes I don't want to be seen by God. There are things I have done in my life that are not good, that are not blessings. Things I'm ashamed of, things I'm hurt by, things I'm embarrassed about. Despite my best efforts at being a Christian, being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, I still fail. I still slip. I still sin. And when I have fallen into this quagmire of selfishness and deception, I don't want God to see me. I want to hide. like my infant daughter with fingers spread across her eyes, but this time with no giggling or laughter. When we have done something that we are just sure we don't want God to find out about, we turn our backs to God. We walk away from God. We stay away. We busy ourselves with other things. We distract ourselves from that gnawing feeling that we're missing something. We fill our plates with whatever we can to build a barrier that we can hide behind so God won't see us. Our mistakes haunt us. They burden us. They shame us. I should know better. I should do better. I know what God expects, and yet I still fall. And every time as I'm dusting myself off and trying to stand back up, I think, man, I hope God didn't see that. Like a child that knocks over the lamp in the living room and then freezes, as if by not moving, somehow the sound of the crash will not make it to their mother's ears. So I freeze, motionless, holding my breath, hoping God can't see me, because this was a bad one. This one was really bad. And there's no way that God would still love me if he sees what I've done. There's no way that God would forgive me for this if he sees what I've done. There's no way that God would call me his own if he could see what I had done. I knew I shouldn't do it. There's no way God will want me around with this hanging around my neck. And so I crouch in the corner, fingers splayed in a vain attempt to shield myself from the gaze of the Alpha and the Omega. But as I cower there in dark desolation, hiding from the Creator of the universe, there is still something inside that hopes God will notice me. Despite this burden that I'm carrying and the way that it eats at me, there's still something inside that hopes God will find me. Despite my fallen nature and my humiliation of being unable to avoid that sin once again, there's still something deep inside that hopes that God will see me. Because I want to be with God. I desire that relationship, that connection, that redemption. So even as I try to mask myself in my sin, I still hope God's gaze might find me. And just like Zacchaeus, Jesus' eyes scan the scene and stop and rest on me after all. Gentle eyes, eyes full of compassion and caring, eyes that know my shortcomings, my failures, my sins, and yet they find me anyway, crouched in the corner behind the ficus, face buried in hands, and Jesus sees me and gently says, I see you. Not in a condemning, judgmental, caught you with your hand in the cookie jar tone, but softly, kindly, lovingly, I see you. And in that moment when I can run no farther, turn no farther, Jesus calls me back by simply seeing all of me, my good and my bad, my blessings and my curses, and saying, I see you, Mark. I love you. I forgive you. You are mine. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, it changed Zacchaeus' life. He came down from the tree and he took Jesus and the crowd to his home to eat. And as this man who had cheated and stolen from his community was noticed by Jesus, He began to change inside. He began to let go of his sin. He began to see the world like Jesus. Jesus, seeing him up that sycamore tree, had caused something to change in Zacchaeus. He tells Jesus, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." Jesus came to seek out and save the lost. To seek is to look for, to see. Jesus came to see you with all of your warts, all of your blemishes, all of your detriments. He came to see you, even in this crowded, dusty, calamitous world, above the din of our everyday lives. Jesus stops, and his gaze still finds you. "I see you," he says, "and I'm coming to your house today." If you're hiding today, if you're turning your back on Jesus today, if you are trying desperately to avoid catching Jesus' eye like a student who has not completed the homework, the good news that the Gospels give us is that Jesus is pretty good at peekaboo. And he does see you. And he loves you. And he forgives you. And you are his own. Let that change you. And let it change your world.